Welcome back to the You Never Know podcast. School's almost out for us three. This is
getting pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Last one is college students.
Yeah, we're almost done with school, but we're not done with the podcast, I'll tell you that. Guest this week, very interesting, very cool. She is the owner of the Boise Selfie Museum right down the street from the studio. Rachel, how are we doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Yeah. Starting to warm up a little bit out there.
Oh, yeah. It's been so nice.
It's hot today.
And then it's going to rain the next 3 days or something like that.
I saw that. It was supposed to be a lightning storm before graduation.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
So. Hopefully it's not outdoors.
Yeah, it is. It's on the blue.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So.
And gosh.
Apparently you're not allowed to bring an umbrella like if you're
like into
really?
The stadium.
Yeah, you have to buy a poncho. So.
That sucks. Man. What is it, like a weapon or something? You can't bring the umbrella?
Probably. Or probably hides people. Or like.
Oh, yeah, pictures and stuff maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
But enough about us. Rachel, before we kind of just jump into the Selfie Museum and how you kind of built that, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, kind of like where you're from, kind of schooling, stuff like that, and what kind of led you to getting into this type of business?
Okay, yeah. So how it happened was about 10 years ago, my parents were like, hey, let's move to Idaho. And my dad grew up on a farm, and so we lived in Washington at the time, and it's a lot more like Seattle. Metro, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, Rachel, if we move to Idaho, then I'll get you a horse and we can have acreage. And like, you know, feeding me all of like these, oh my gosh, that sounds so awesome, you know. I didn't get my horse. Thanks for asking. Never received that.
It's just a lie to get you to Idaho.
Yeah, exactly. So we came to Idaho and I liked it a lot better. I liked that it snowed, you know, for
where
seasons.
Where in Idaho specifically?
Nampa.
Okay. Okay. The local.
Yeah, and so I just kind of grew up here. I went to high school here, a little bit of middle school here. And then I got my CNA certificate while I was in high school. So I was working, like, two jobs. I had, like, a network marketing job that I did. I had a part-time job at a structural engineering firm, and then I did full-time as a CNA while going to school.
Wow.
Yeah, so by the time I graduated, like, I had some money in the bank.
Yeah,
and I loved it, and I loved that feeling of, like, hey, I did this, I made this, I whatever. And then a week before I graduated, I met my husband, and I was like, well, this is just going to be a summer fling because I'm actually going to Utah for school. I'm going to be a nurse. So, like, do with that information what you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like, okay, cool. Like, by the way, I flip houses. I'm like, oh, so I could be the next Joanna Gaines. And so we just kind of got into real estate that way. Like, I just kind of, like, married into it. And so he's been doing real estate for a really long time. And when, like, it came to, like, hey, are we going to get married, whatever, and we were talking and stuff, I was like, you know, I'm not really comfortable with the idea of entrepreneurship. Like, I like to have my ducks in a row. I like to know when the money's coming in, how much.
Just more security.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. and I think a lot of it was just, like, my dad, he started and grew some businesses, but then it never, like, became his full-time gig. And so there was, like, that unsecure feeling of like, oh well, it's gonna fail, we're gonna have to file bankruptcy, we're gonna have to, you know, pull some money out of our butts and like get this going and stuff. And so he was like a little more settled in his career and stuff, so I felt like a little more comfortable. So I was like, I don't know. Well, I was still set on like being a CNA and like being a nurse, and then I hurt my back, and so I was like, oh, what am I going
to
do now?
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun, just being walking around all day at clinicals and all that.
Yes.
It wouldn't work out very well.
I really can't do this anymore. Like, I'm not willing to sacrifice my body for my dream career.
Mm-hmm.
So then I had an existential crisis, and I was like, I don't know what I want to do and stuff. And then
this is while you're still in Idaho, right?
Yeah.
Just want to make sure, because you said you're going to Utah, but I didn't think that.
No, I stayed in Idaho and stuff. And then I actually, so we got married, and so I stayed here, obviously. And then I got pregnant with my twins.
Okay.
And I was like, very wow. Nice. And I had a lot of health problems with the pregnancy and stuff. Because they were twins and they share a placenta. And I was like,
there's a lot going on. Yeah.
There was
yeah.
a lot going on. And so I was like, well, okay, I'll just like take a breather, kind of get my body back to where it should be, solve these health problems and stuff like that. And I just was like, I don't have this burning desire to go back to the workforce. And it was kind of like as a mom, like I definitely had the existential crisis of like, oh, I can never accomplish what I want to accomplish. I can never do what I want to do. Like I have these children and they're just going to chain me and like I can't accomplish. And so there was like that mourning, what could have been type thing. And so finally my husband was like, Rachel, like you can be like who you want to be. Like right. It's okay. You know, like we'll figure it out. And I'm like, no, I'm all being dramatic. Like, no, I can't. And, so I started following a bunch of other women on Instagram and I was like, hey, they birthed children too. Like they had children come out of them too. And they're doing that and they're doing this and stuff. And so at the end of the day, I just realized like I had more ambition than that I could hold.
That's kind of when your whole entrepreneurial spirit kind of shined through.
Yeah. And so I'm like, well, I can't just like go to a 9-to-5 because then I won't make enough starting out to pay for childcare. So I was like, I want to be an entrepreneur. And I went to all of the seminars with my husband. Like I knew like the business principles and this and that. Like I had been to all of the trainings that he'd been to for the last 4 years. So it was kind of like, I feel like I could do this. But for me, it wasn't about like, for me, I knew I could build any business. For me, I wanted to build a business that really like matched me and like that I had a passion for.
Right.
And so then it was just hard because, okay, I know my game plan. I just don't know what passion. I don't know right. what my passion is.
I've definitely had a hard time trying yes. to figure that out too.
I think we've all struggled with that.
Yeah. Sure. It's like, and people ask you all the time, they're like, what's your why? What's your why? What's your why? And I would tell them and be like, that's not a good enough why. You're not going to be successful because that's not a good enough why.
Really? They told you that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I had people like, oh, you know, you might want to work on that.
I think it's a good that you at least have a why.
Yeah. Yes, that's, exactly.
That's a good point. I'm kind of going through that right now, too. You know, I got the media thing, I got the podcast. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. And it's like, I think I'm trying to find that why right now. Is like, why do I want to do this over this? Or why do I want to do that? It's
absolutely.
It's yeah. It's a mess right now.
You question a lot this when you're this mm-hmm. age.
Yeah, especially oh, yeah. where we're at, just about to go into the whole workforce and everything. Yeah. We have no idea luck. What we want to do.
Uh huh. Yeah. Because yeah. we had started a couple businesses and we actually just sold one. It was out in Nampa. We owned the paddleboard shack out at Lake Lowell.
Okay. Cool.
And I liked it, but like it was nice because I learned a lot of like managerial skills and like work like. Employing teenagers is difficult and stuff.
Yeah, I bet.
yeah. So I learned a lot and stuff, but one of the things that I learned the most was like it was a little more hands-on than I wanted. Like I wanted something that I could eventually grow passive, just like real estate.
Mm-hmm. Have someone else kind of work it for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted something to where if my kids need me or I want to go to Greece or I want to experience life, right. I can definitely do that and my business won't be hurting because mm-hmm. of it. So it was definitely hard finding like that business where I could put in the work and the time and the effort and the hustle and all that stuff for like the next however long it takes and then step away from that and then also be passionate like too. It just seemed yeah. like yeah. this is a very long like list, you know, it's kind of like yeah. finding a unicorn.
A lot of things that go into it to be able to like be like self-sufficient on its own so you can do your own thing. But
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So I was kind of stuck. And back in October, we went to a mastermind with one of our friends. He does our marketing for Danon Real Estate. And so we went to his mastermind, and it was like nugget after nugget after nugget. And he was like, yeah. And he had Colin Yersursen come and join. He's like a YouTuber and stuff. And so we got to hear from Colin. And they dropped so many good, like, truth nuggets, I felt like, because uh-huh. it was like Colin's story was like, oh yeah, I was working at this job, it was secure, it was stable, and then I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And so he's like, I wrote down what I did every single day and I kept a tally of like, okay, I made this much this day and this is what I did the next day, okay, I made this much this day and this is what I did. And so then he could see like, okay, this made me money, this didn't make me money, like let's pivot, let's do whatever. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I should do that. And so I just wrote down like every day, like, okay, this is how much money I made. And there were a lot of zeros. There were a lot of zeros. But I learned like, oh, hey, like even though I'm a stay-at-home mom, I can make some money here. I can make some money there and stuff. And one night me and my husband were sitting down and we were watching Undercover Billionaire. And I was really inspired by that because at the time, like with real estate and the flips going on, like we didn't have two pennies to rub together. Like we didn't know how we're going to make our mortgage, how we're going to put milk in Lucy's bottle, like none of that stuff. Because like one flip we worked on, it had a double sliding glass door. Well, that's a special order that takes 6 to 8 weeks. So that pushes the whole project out 6 to 8 weeks. We can't sell it without a door. And then the countertops, oh, that's another 6 to 8 weeks and stuff. And so we really had to scramble and get creative and stuff. And I'm sitting there, I'm watching Undercover Billionaire, and I'm like, I could do this.
What is Undercover Billionaire? Is that like Undercover Boss?
It's incredible. So it's a TV show, and basically a billionaire is dropped in a city they've never been to before. They can't use their name, their contacts, like no connections whatsoever. All they have is a $100 bill, a phone, and then a car, and they have to build $1 million business in 90 days. So 3 months.
I mean, 90 days.
Uh-huh. 90 days. $1 million That's business impressive. In 90 days. Yeah. And so I'm sitting there, I'm like, I could do this. It just started growing inside of me. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this.
How much was your husband on board
at
the time?
Not at all.
He was still like, no, we're flipping houses. Like, that's what we're sticking
Absolutely.
To?
Absolutely. He was like, oh, I wish you'd be more involved in real estate, like, and all this stuff.
Like, more like maybe like interior design or like get your license or something like that.
Yeah. He was like, I want you to help like design the flips and I want you to do the marketing and I want you. And I was like, oh. It's not really my passion. Like I did the marketing for a while and I was like, you guys got to hire someone. I can't be doing this all the time.
Seems like a lot of work and just hard to like find the right demographics and all that and just how to really phrase it for each.
Yeah. Like, especially because like I don't have the software, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't have the software to figure out where our followers are from or if they're liable, like viable or if they're whatever. Like I don't, I'm just a kid with a laptop.
Yeah. It's all of us too, pretty much. Yeah, well, exactly. Ryland's got a little more over there, I guess, actually. Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. And so my husband was like, no, like, let's focus on real estate. Because he was born. Like, he just came from his mother knowing real estate was the thing to do. Like, he was just born with, like, real estate, real estate, real estate. And, like, for me and a bunch of other people, it sounds like it's like I didn't have that. Yeah. It was kind of like trial and error. Like, what do I want? What am I passionate about? What do I want my lifestyle to look like 10 years from now?
Right.
Definitely. So, like, after watching the, what was it called again?
Undercover Billionaire.
Uh-huh. Is that when you just started trying to think of, like, what you wanted your business to be? And then, you like, how long did that take you to kind of figure out?
Yeah. So, when we were at the conference in Miami in October, we were looking for some fun things to do. I planned, like, a day for us to just go explore Miami. Mm-hmm. And, So I was like looking, I was Googling like fun things to do, and I'd heard rumors about a selfie museum, and I had heard rumors that a selfie museum was going to come to Boise, but that was like back in like 2014 that I'm hearing all these things. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't think there's one that I know of. Like, let's go check it out. I want to see what it is. I want to come back and come to Idaho and be like, look what I did, you know, to all my friends. And so we went. We had a blast. We spent like 6 hours there because like he's in real estate. He always needs content, right? Like content. Yeah. So we're like banging out all this content. We're having a blast. It was fun. It was like this whole experience, like this whole culture of like, I'm in a content creation studio and people aren't like, what is this weirdo doing over here with a video? Like, can you stop? Like you're in public, you know? And so I walked out and my husband said, this would do really well in Boise. And, like, right as he said that, I'm, like, already thinking, like, the gears in my mind are already, like, turning. And I'm, like, I could make this, but I could make it me, and I can make it Boise. Because right. Boise has this whole, like, vibe and culture going for
definitely
it.
Definitely different from Miami, for sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. And so it was just that, like, oh, I felt like it was a challenge to be, like, oh, I'm going to challenge myself to be creative, but also to put my own twist on it, but also to incorporate Boise in it and stuff. And so it was really unique for me, definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a really good idea.
Yeah, it sounds like kind of just everything just kind of clicked at once when you saw the selfie museum there and how it's kind of you can make it your own and Boise kind of home. It kind of just all kind of melted together super quick. So what was the actual process like in terms of like creating that spot, I guess?
And like what is a selfie museum?
Yeah.
So I had only been to one. It wasn't like I had someone like a real estate mentor who was like, this is how you get leads. This is how you farm. This is how you, I wasn't going to pay for the franchise, right? It's like, I don't have two pennies to rub together. I can't buy milk. Like, I'm not going to pay for these franchise, right?
Yeah.
So I just like from memory and from our pictures, I just went room by room and just typed out like, okay, in the blue room, they had a coffee table and a chair and a like picture frame and stuff. And from there, I just started like listing everything and then like the cost of each item, if I could find it somewhere cheaper, if I could get creative with it, kind of find new avenues to make it cheaper, but also
and your
look
own.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there was a lot of that, just like, okay, what rooms do I want? How many rooms do I want? And then I got to the point where I'm like, I could come up with 50 rooms, but if I only have a studio apartment the size of like 600 feet, like square feet, then that's going to be an issue.
Yeah.
So then I reached out to a real estate agent and like a commercial one, and I was like, hi. I show up and I'm like, hi. I'm extremely young and I want to buy a commercial spot. And they're like, oh, by the way, if you could make it like 3,000 square feet, that would be great. Like, and he's like, okay, like, I'll see what I can do. And I'm like, oh, and like downtown Boise too. And he's like, so what are you doing? I'm like, oh, it's a selfie museum. And he's like, that's unique.
Like, what's that?
Like, tell me about it. And so I started showing him my dream board, essentially. Like, I just came with a little PowerPoint that was just my dream board of the selfie museum. So it had like, okay, here's my wish list and here's like what the rooms I want and like here's my pictures and stuff. Like, it was literally just a dream board that I showed him. And it's nice to one thing that I learned is like being able to communicate your vision effectively to those around you really, really makes the process a lot smoother. So for me to bring my dream board, even though he's a real estate agent, like for me to bring my dream board and be like, here.
Yeah.
At least you came with something, helped. Not
yes.
just like, hey, I have this idea, what should I do? You know?
Exactly. And so he actually got me this perfect spot, like literally in the next building over.
That's awesome. So the whole studio is just a bunch of rooms where people can make content in each of them, or is it like they have different backdrops and stuff, or is it kind of all over the place?
Yeah, so right now we have 14. There are two surprise rooms that I'm working on, so I'm excited to like showcase those. But right now we have 14, and then I actually switched out the blue room. I just couldn't drive with it. I was like, oh, I love it. So it's now Blue Butterfly Room.
Very nice. Was that like the original room that got inspired from Miami or something like that?
Yeah, like the blue room, and then because that was my husband's favorite. And I was like, yeah, like, I don't know. But once you, like, as a business owner, once you stare at it for so long, you're like, all right.
Got to mix it up a little bit.
You kind of start to question it.
It's like a creator in your content. Like, the more I watch my own videos that I make, the more I'm like, yeah, I don't like this. Like,
absolutely.
I'm sick of it.
So yeah.
Yeah.
How often do you plan on changing, like, the rooms around or, like, that type of thing?
Yeah, so we'll change out a couple, like, every 3 months. And then for Halloween and for Christmas, we're going, like, big, like expect like probably 4 to 6, maybe even 8 of them to change.
And how many rooms total are there?
There's 14.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Dang. So I'm expecting like this huge, I mean, because I go all out for Halloween and Christmas anyway at my house. So to have a whole studio where I can just
have a couple holiday rooms.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
When did you guys open up?
So I wanted to keep the 90-day challenge as much as like close together as possible.
From
like,
October, right?
Well, I didn't start it till January 1st.
Oh, okay.
Because we landed back in Idaho, and then like less than a week later, I got the call that my grandma was passing away. So I actually went and took a detour, went back to Washington.
Oh man, I'm sorry.
You know, had a month or two. So I started January 1st, and it really helped me because I'm like, okay, I need to have a direction. I can't just end on this note, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, January 1st, it'll be like a new year, new trial.
This year, January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Oh wow, that's a quick start. Yeah.
So I wanted to keep it as close together as possible, and I didn't have $100. I didn't have any money. So I was like, okay, 90 days. But so I don't have the money, but I have connections. Like I have people. Like I have like my sphere of influence that I've been growing and cultivating. Like even throughout high school, before I decided to be an entrepreneur and stuff. And so I just started like referring people to people. Like you can make so much money off of referrals, and people don't realize it. They're like, oh, that's a nice, like, okay, cool. Like when your solar guy sits down with you and he's like, yeah, like, you know, we have a referral program or whatever, like shop around for the best referral program, because sometimes you don't even have to be a member of that club or like a client. You can just be like, hey, I know this chick, she wants solar. Hook her up, yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's how I really crowdfunded for the Selfie Museum.
That's sweet.
And I know you talked about like the blue room and like that you guys mix it up every now and then, but like what actual like type of backgrounds are there? Is it just literally like a whole room that's like a set where you just go and take pictures?
Yeah, so it's really cool. So when you walk in, you have the anthropology room is what I call it. It's very like, it's great for entrepreneurs who want professional headshots that is more stylized. It's kind of vintage, but modern, cutesy, whatever. The next room is the boho room. Same thing, headshots. Like if you pump essential oils or whatever, you can sit there and it's like cozy and warm and home vibes and stuff. And then we have the comic book room. And that's kind of like when you drag your boyfriend or husband along and he's like, this is stupid. You're like, go take pictures in the comic room.
Right.
Go hang out in the corner. And then we have the blue butterfly room. And then we have the floral room. Some people refer to it as the Kim Kardashian room. You know, like this whole floral vibe. Or the Bridgerton vibes. And then we have a telephone and like this cool little abstract cloud thing that I came up with. And so that's, again, for, like, entrepreneurs, like, hey, if you want to sell your house, give me a call, whatever. And then we have the Freaky Friday room. I loved, like, Freaky Friday as a kid.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. And I feel like who doesn't want to, like, jump in a shopping cart and take a picture? Like,
yeah.
Right? Like,
very true.
Every time I go to the store, I'm like, can I just, like, hop in there? Just hop in there.
Also would enjoy someone pushing you around the whole store, too.
Absolutely. Nice. My niece, we went to Home Depot to get some stuff for the museum, and she just like hops on the handlebars and just like perches like a bird. And I'm like, how do you do that? Anyway, so I attempted to, and I like jammed my back into the metal, and I was like, oh, right as a Home Depot worker like walked by and was like,
Oh, you did this in the, I thought you were talking about at your studio.
Oh no, this was like at Home Depot. And I was like, and I, like, we lock eyes right as the metal goes into my spine. I'm like, hi. Like, just like
did
that.
Did you just get, like, flashbacks when you hurt your back before and you couldn't be a nurse anymore?
I know. I was like, crap, I got to go to my massage
So do you have 100%, like, creative input on the backgrounds and the rooms and the designs? Or do you kind of have a team that helps you with that?
No, it's me 100%. Like, like I said, like my husband was like real estate all the way. So when I would talk to them about this crazy harebrained scheme of like, hey, your wife's going to do this. He's like, don't even talk to me. You're stressing me out. Like, I just want to focus on real estate. Like, I'm in my little room and you can be in your little room and it'll be good.
Does it help that he like flips houses? Because I feel like when you flip the rooms and different themes and stuff, that would be a little bit maybe more like save some time on like labor and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I was like, this will be great. We already have our own construction teams and stuff.
Like how deep is the process when like, you know, changing out a room? Like, do you like, you know, gut it all the way down to the paint, or you know, like, is there like physical objects or props involved too? Like, I know, are you familiar? I think it's kind of like the same concept. I think it's down in LA, but they have like a pool of sprinkles. It's like,
oh, yes. Yes.
Oh, like, I know you're talking about. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, they have like physical props that you can like take pictures of. Is that kind of like what this is too? Like, there's like not only paintings on the wall, it makes it look like you're like in a bubble, but like there's also physical props to, like take pictures
of. Yeah, absolutely. The banana room has a swing. The Freaky Friday room has a shopping cart. We have this 5-foot big Crayola yellow crayon. So there's definitely like interactive stuff. My favorite is the Night Bright room. I don't know if you guys played with those as a kid.
Isn't that the like, I think like so, the yeah. colorful like they
pegs?
Light up?
Yeah. So we have an entire like adult size.
Oh, that's
room
cool.
Full sweet. Of Night Brights.
Is that anyone can like put on their own stuff and
yeah,
like make
so
whatever?
Yeah, you can go in and put like iHeart TV or whatever.
You guys ever make like a giant mural out of it or something like that?
Yeah, my niece, she did a really pretty like butterfly, and then she like did this bunny thing. And
that's cool.
Cool vibe.
I feel like Nightbride's definitely like fading out of adults, like, or like kids now. It's like,
oh yeah, like, I completely forgot about those. Those things are so cool though.
Or like the etch and sketch. Did you ever have one of those? Oh, where you like got the two knobs and you draw the stuff on it in the sand.
Those were hard.
That would be a cool room too, like a giant etch and sketch.
It's like a playroom.
I'm writing these down. I'm writing these down.
So it's your biggest demographic though, like females, I'm guessing, because you were talking about how they drag their husbands and throw them in the comic book room or whatever it is. Do you have a lot of like guys who just go in by themselves and do it?
Mostly photographers. Like if they're male, they're a photographer and they're like, hey, I need photos for my portfolio and stuff. So that's been nice. Or they're like, hey, I need headshots for my podcast or whatever. So kind of like in the entrepreneurial.
Okay. I was gonna say, what is like your target audience when you were like opening this? Was it aimed towards more like the younger generation? Like I guess that 18 to 24 or younger, or like more of that, you know, family fun zone? Like what was, when you were building and opening it, what was your envision and target audience?
Good question. So I based it off of me.
Okay.
Because I walk in and I'm like, oh, I'm my perfect client. Like this is what it is. And I knew that like I needed content because I wanted to grow my Instagram and I wanted to grow my sphere of influence and I wanted to be able to monetize that. And I knew I wanted to build a business, but I didn't know what business. So like for me going into the Miami one, it was like content, content, content. And it was really nice to be around people at that mastermind who weren't ashamed to be like, yeah, we're on a yacht on a Monday. Let's take a like crap ton of videos and photos and like use this as content.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really awesome because like around here, it's like you try to create content.
People
like,
are going to stare and stuff.
Yeah. Or people are kind of like, seriously? Like you're doing that now? Like isn't that a little insensitive?
Like,
you know?
When else am I gonna do it?
Yeah, exactly. It's like you kinda gotta take it when you can because it's not like you wake up today and go, oh, I'm gonna create content and then you gotta go do your makeup for 30 minutes, do your hair. I mean you guys don't have to worry about this.
No, I've noticed that though, that Boise's you get a lot more like dirty looks and stuff, even if it's just like, I don't know, street interviews or just trying to do like
anything.
I feel like just taking pictures with the boys sometimes, it's like people will stare. It's like, okay, am I not allowed to like do this?
It's like not a thing here yet where it's like you can record yourself in public.
The influencer bug.
Yeah, the influencer vibe's not here yet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So just having that like safe space for people to come be like, this is what I actually like genuinely need. Like the number one issue for content creators is content creation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they said at the seminar, and like a light bulb went off and I was like, so what you're telling me is that I don't have to be a content creator. I just have to service them and I'll make a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like how that happened. And I knew like what I needed, and I needed a place to go and create content where this was like normal. And I wanted to like bring that culture with me of like, hey, like you need content. Let's build it together. Let's do that together.
So overall though, it's more of like business, like taking pictures for headshots and portfolios and stuff, more than like a 16-year-old girl coming in for like an Instagram shoot or something like that.
I say that it's more entrepreneurial because like that's what I need. But in reality, like only 3 of them are more geared towards entrepreneurs. The rest are like super fun and crazy and unique and like interactive. And so it's definitely like from the ages of 14 to 26, you just go and you just have fun. It's a date night. It's like you go grab ice cream and then you come back, and like we have a partnership with Coned Pizza. Like if you come in, we'll get you a free coupon for a free Coned Pizza, you know? So
that's sweet.
That's awesome. Yeah. You have a lot of kids coming in making TikToks and stuff.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Lots of reels, which is amazing.
Has there been a video yet from your guys' place that kind of blew up on TikTok or anything like that?
Not yet. So if you guys want to be the first, there's that opening.
We could do that. Yeah. Me and Danger are pretty good at dancing. I don't know about Ryan.
Yeah, and the nice thing is, like, I even have, like, a content creation bar where you go and you sit down and you can batch your content for the entire week. So then when you are creating your reels, you're like, okay, I want to use this audio. But, like, so, like, when I go, I usually find an audio, like, 6 days after I want to create the reel. So I already have the video footage. I'm like, oh, I wish I had, like, me lip syncing to this. Or I wish I, like, put the camera down and pretended to stomp on it or whatever. The nice thing about the content creation bar is you just go and you sit there. And then you're like, oh, my mouth is a little off. Okay, well, not a big deal. You just hop up and reshoot it and then come back. So you can, like, really, like, get it all down and out, like, within 30 minutes. And then when it comes time to post, just click the post button.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Do you guys have, like, your own photographers and stuff who work there? Or is it, do people just bring in their own for the most part?
People bring in their own for the most part. There is one girl that we're working on collaborating with and kind of doing, like, headshots and stuff like that, and then boudoirs and other stuff like that. So I'm really excited for that. And then once a month I want to open it up to photographers to bring two or three models. I'll supply, like, drinks and snacks, and then they can just do that to build their portfolio.
Nice. So do you have employees or is it just you? Because you were kind of talking about before, like, your management team and stuff like that. And when I DM'd on Instagram, that your guys' Instagram, absolutely, I thought it was going to be the owner. And she's like, well, let me reach out and see what she says.
Yeah. So I was supposed to get my lease March 1st. I didn't get it till the 23rd. And I opened April 1st, right? Because April 1st is my 90-day deadline. Mm-hmm. So March 23rd, I'm like, I have 7 days to remodel this. And then, like, in the middle of it, I had to go to Florida for the growth conference or whatever. So, like, I had 5 days before I left and then 2 days after I left or something like that. And so I was stressed. Like, even with, like, and my construction team, like, who works on the flips, they're like, we can't just, like, stop on the flips and then come help you for like 7 days.
I was gonna say, that's like 7 days is not a lot of time.
Yeah, to remodel 2,000 square feet. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but I'm just that crazy. I'm like, yeah, we could do it. Not a big deal. Like, I went over, man. I can do that. Yeah, it's not a big deal. So I called my dad, who is always supportive of my crazy harebrained schemes. I'm like, hey, it's your favorite daughter. By the way, can you, like, take a break from building your house? Oh, and your full-time job and, like, help me with this selfie museum? But, like, don't worry. It's only for, like, 7 days straight of, like, hard manual labor. So he would, like, get off of work, drive to the museum, stay with me until, like, 3 a.m. and then wake up at, like, 6 a.m. to be at his full-time job. Like,
dang.
Yeah, because wow. He starts job. I mean, sometimes he would wake up at 2 or 3 a.m. to get to his job just because of his hours. So he definitely was a huge support to me because I don't know how to build a wall. I know how to watch a YouTube video about building a wall, but I don't know how to build a wall. I mean, now I do.
Body has been done.
Yeah, yeah, he showed me. So that was a huge help to have him and my mom come over and paint and then.
Yeah,
that's cool. So when you first got the place, it was just basically an empty kind of warehouse looking thing, but not like a warehouse, but so you had to build all the rooms and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm putting it together. I thought most of the work was mainly just painting walls because I thought you already had rooms, but
I thought so too.
Yeah.
It was funny. I walked in and at first I'm like, we're going to take down all of these walls. And then like 20 minutes later, I was like, that's stupid. I need these walls. Like, I can't just go in and like tear down a wall like Joanna Gaines. Like, she walks into every house and she's like, we're going to take down all the walls.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. And then I'm like, no, this is different. Like,
was that ever a concept? Is just do like an open floor plan where it's like, you know, every 10 feet is like, you know, you have your own box essentially. Mm-hmm. And like, you'd have to measure it to like the iPhone camera, you know, because I assume that's what probably is one person's standard camera would be coming in is okay. The iPhone camera measures, you know, 10 feet side to side. Yep. We'll just do a different theme every 12 feet.
Uh-huh.
Like, was that ever a thought, I guess?
Absolutely. I have a paper. It's still at my house. And I had my first floor plan idea. And it was this white printer copy, like, piece of paper. And I just drew a little, like, I'm like, here's the opening. And then I drew a box. And I was like, and then I drew a box inside the box. And I'm like, okay, so around the perimeter, we're going to have these many rooms. And then around the box in the inside, we're going to have these many rooms. And then the inside of the box is going to be a whole mirror room.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
Wow. Yeah. And so then my dad was like, that's a little unrealistic.
Like, slow down.
Yeah. Because, I mean, he's done construction. So he's, like, looking at this floor plan. And he's like, honey, like,
I don't know if that's gonna work.
Yeah, you're not gonna find a warehouse in like downtown Boise with like no walls. Like, this is not
or
gonna
beams
happen.
Or like,
yeah. Exactly. Because I mean, they're all older. Like,
is places. Your space above ground?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're on like street level.
Oh, okay. So the entrances. Okay, this is where it kind of gets complicated. Not a lot of people know where we're located because we're right under Guru Donuts. So we're technically in the basement, but we have so much like natural lighting and windows and stuff that you really do feel like you're at floor level. And then, like, you even, like, walk out. And anyway. So the staircase is at the corner of 10th and Main. And then you go down the staircase. And then that's me.
That's cool.
So you're literally right next door to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Record. Yeah. SB Studios.
Were you there working right before you walked
over?
Well,
it's funny. I picked up this huge box for, like, the patio bench, and I'm, like, shoving it into my car as I'm, like, video, like, recording with my marketing team, Noor, and I'm, like, yeah, it looks great. The numbers look great. I'm, like, shoving this box into my car, and then I plugged it into my GPS, and then I literally get here, and I'm, like, oh, I already knew where to go. That was dumb of me. I couldn't be, like, oh, they're, like, 2 digits away from my address. Got it. But actually, we had to change our address 3 times because the first 2 my property management gave me weren't the right ones. And so I was going with the second one, and I was, like, blasting it out, like, to marketing. I was like, yeah, this is the address. And then the city of Boise calls.
Was it sending people to the wrong place?
I don't know. Like, the first one definitely was. The second one, like, people kind of knew because it was, like, the same address as Guru Donuts. So people were like, oh, okay, like, I'm here, but I don't see you, you know?
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of confusion, and then the city of Boise called me and was like, knock it off. Like, no, can't do that. And I was like, oh, sorry. So we finally got it figured out.
This building used to be, if you typed it into Apple Maps, it'd take you to Meridian. There's the same exact address out in Meridian. And so, like, when I was coming to, like, look at this studio space, I was like, oh, it's out in Meridian? I don't know if I'm interested anymore. It's like, no. It's, like, right next to Guru Donuts on Main Street. I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. I'll find it eventually.
Yeah, like, the first address was sending people, like, a block down to, like, Foot Dynamics. So people would show up to this foot store and be like, hi.
I don't need pictures of my feet. Yeah.
This isn't Feet Finders.
Right. I feel like Boise in general, I feel like there's a lot of times where I'm going to a place I haven't been before, especially downtown. You type in an address and it's not anywhere close to where it actually is.
Yeah.
But I was curious because I was looking at your guys' website earlier today, you kind of said in About Us, you guys are a modern art museum. Mm-hmm. So do you guys have, like, where people can just walk in and look around, or is it just you have to take pictures there?
No, but you can just go in and walk around and have a blast on the swing. Like, you don't have to take pictures and stuff.
Yeah. Is there any, like, art or anything? Like, that's kind of like a museum vibe?
My art? Like I said, like, it really challenged me creatively because I've never been an artist. I've never been creative.
So you did all the art in the museum?
Yeah. Love it.
You didn't outsource any of it? That's crazy.
It would definitely challenge me. The smiley face room. I mean, you look at it and you're like, that's so simple. Like, but it intimidated me. Like, it honestly did. I was like, I can't spray paint smiley faces on this yellow wall. Like, how am I supposed to do that? So I was going to hire an artist from Utah, but we couldn't make the schedule work out with just 7 days of, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I just got to buck up and do it myself. Like, I'm the business owner, you know, you just gotta do some things that you don't want to do. And now we have the smiley face room, so
there you go. Well, we have some crazy artist friends who may be able to help you out if needed.
Definitely. That would be awesome. I know we reached out to a couple colleges and we're like, hey, we're having this competition, like, submit what you think would be a great installation.
Cool.
And then you have might get picked room. Your own room at the Boise Selfie Museum.
That'd be sweet.
That was a good idea, and probably get some free labor from a college student.
Exactly.
Maybe art intern credit or something
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So to kind of just to wrap up here, obviously you've done a lot since January 1st and, you know, kind of building what it is now. What are your future goals and aspirations, not just for the museum itself, but also just kind of in life going forward?
Yeah. So 2 things is, one of them, like, I want to expand the Selfie Museum. But I want to incorporate real estate into it and stuff. And I would love to do, like, take a dumpy motel and just turn it into a selfie museum where you can go and stay and have fun. Like, and it's modern and it's trendy and, like, very aesthetic.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Like, it's this whole experience when you step into this motel. So that's really what I want to do. And then my original passion was health. I was passionate about helping people and, like, improving their quality of life and stuff. And even though I worked on, like, the end of life care ward, I definitely saw, like, improvements in my patients', like, quality of life. And that really fueled me, and that made me feel good to know that I had a hand in improving their quality of life. And so that was really important to me. Like I said, I had a lot of health issues when I was pregnant, and I went to a couple doctors, and they chalked it up to, it's because you're a female, and oh, by the way, it's genetics. Like, we can't help you. There's nothing wrong with you. It's all in your head. Like, I had a female doctor tell me it's all in my head, and I'm like, you don't drop 40 pounds overnight because it's in your head. Trust me, if I knew how to do that, I would.
I think everybody would be looking pretty good,
Like, I'd be there, okay? And so then I finally went to, like, a fourth doctor, and he helped me out a ton. And then I met Gary Brecka down in Miami, and he, like, changed my life. Like, I used to struggle with debilitating, like, depression and anxiety, like, really debilitating. And he was, like, talking to me, like, oh, I can cure that. I'm like, no, they say it's genetic. They say it's genetic. No, you got
it. Can't be touched.
And he was like, no, he's like, I cure Alzheimer's. I cure depression. Wow. I cure anxiety. And like, oh, yeah, by the way, like, cancer, curable. And I'm like, what? So just like talking with him for 20 minutes, like, changed my life. Like, changed my life. Like, cured my anxiety, cured my depression. Like, I don't struggle with it. I tell other people, I'm like, this man, like, He knows what he's doing.
That's impressive.
That's a doctor out in Florida, you said?
So he's a biologist.
Oh.
Yeah. And so what's incredible about it is that he mapped the entire, like, human genome down to, like, 5 different strains, I guess. I mean, I don't know the exact verbiage, but so basically you fit into one of these 5 categories. And based on whatever category you fit into, he can tell you, like, what nutrients your body needs but can't break down from the food that you're getting because of how you're biologically wired. So even though you're taking folic acid, it's actually building up in your body, and it's causing that depression because, by the way, it's like putting crude oil into your car before reverting it into gasoline. So once you know what nutrients your body isn't getting but needs, then your amygdala can calm down, and it's like, oh, we're good. I have my magnesium. I have my iron. I have what I need.
Dang. So a random biologist knew more than the 4 doctors you went to before.
Yeah, super interesting. It's incredible. His entire backstory and everything is really incredible. And just like talking with him for 20 minutes, like, helped my life vastly. And so I really want to franchise a 10X health system because I know how much it affected me. And I know how many people are out there, because my grandma died of Alzheimer's in November. And so I just look at how many people, like, struggle with Alzheimer's and dementia, and we're the only first world country that calls it Alzheimer's and dementia. Every other, like, country calls it type 3 diabetes.
Really?
Yeah, because of how sugar affects the brain.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's incredible.
Interesting. I did not know all of this.
Yeah, no, like, just like I went down this whole rabbit hole of, like, vitamins, and it's
then you're jumping into, like, America's, like, health problem and their eating habits and all that stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So I'm really excited to bring that here because I, like, being in the mom groups and being a mom myself, like, I know that, like, we're not heard after childbirth. Like, you get one appointment, and that's just to put in birth control to make sure you don't have any more kids, you know? Like, there's nothing, like, my OB still refuses to see me. She's like, I can't see you unless you're pregnant. I'm like, oh, so what about this organ that I have in my body? Like, how do I take care of it? there's definitely, like, a mishap, like, or a disconnect, I would say, between, like, the science and then implementing that science when it comes to healthcare and stuff. So I would love to franchise that and get people the healthcare they deserve.
Yeah. Awesome. Oh,
that's awesome.
But
just before we wrap up, where can people find you or the Selfie Museum?
Yeah. So my Instagram is @TheRachelDanner, like T-H-E, Rachel Danner. And then we're just Boise Selfie Museum on Instagram, and then BoiseSelfieMuseum.com.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like you're going to be doing a lot of good for the world here in the future.
Thanks.
We all wish you the best in whatever comes your way. Mm-hmm. And until next time, you never know.
Thank you for watching this episode of the You Never Know podcast. Make sure to like and subscribe and check out our other episodes on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Also, give us a follow, You Never Know podcast on Instagram and Twitter. See you next time. You never know.